What do you do if you grow up never seeing your culture, the normal everyday way you live, represented on the screens or pages around you? Huda Hayek is Lebanese-Australian. At school, she was the only one who ate falafel rolls for lunch. And like many first and second generation Australians, she saw the gaps in the media around her. So now she's a journalist and a primary teacher. Huda has written a novel for children 9 to 13 years old. And it just happens to feature two excellent Lebanese-Australian kids and a stolen credit card and a trip halfway around the world. It's called Huda and Me. Huda Hayek, thanks for joining me on Life Matters.
Hi, thanks so much for having me this morning.
I feel like this book should come with a bit of a warning. Kids, this would never work in real life. Please don't test it out. Tell us a little bit about the adventure in this book.
So the adventure is basically these siblings, a brother and a sister, who are based on myself and my brother when we were growing up. And although it's a fictional story, the characters are kind of real. It's kind of our characters. Huda's the naughty one and Akil was the good one. And after a little situation at home, they decide to run away to Lebanon, where their parents are, because the parents are visiting their sick grandparents. And so there's this, Huda comes up with the plan to steal the credit card and get the heck out of Melbourne.
And it's an incredible read. It's just, it rips along. And it's written through the eyes of Akil and Huda. And Huda sounds quite a lot like you. Did you share a similar background to the child in the book?
Yes, I did. Like my siblings, I feel like I wrote her through the eyes of my siblings. I didn't see myself as courageous or brave like that. But, you know, when you're around your siblings growing up, you seem to develop this extra skin and want to show off a little bit. So that's how I was when I was around them, but not all the time. She is very much like me as a child, but in some ways a little bit more flavoursome.
And did you have a brother like Akil that you were especially close to as well?
Yes, he is a couple of years older than me. And like I said, he's always been the good one. Mum's always said he's been the most well-behaved out of all seven of her kids. He was always the one trying to do the right thing, trying to show me the right way. I didn't often listen, though.
Well, it's really interesting that you've written this book, Huda. I'm wondering what it was like for you growing up, living in an Australia that was still pretty insular, but you had this strong and proud culture at home too. What was it like kind of being between those two forces?
I think I navigated it quite well. At home, I embraced the Lebanese food, the culture, some of the music, even the clothes. Dad would come home with little Arabic traditional dresses and would dress up, and even some of the old school movies we'd watch. But then as soon as we stepped out the door, it was, okay, turn all of that off. Now you're an Aussie kid. And so I would play the part of everybody else, because I went to a public school and it was a middle class, predominantly white suburb that we lived in, and same with the high school that we went to. So I knew there was no room for that. There was no room to be too different. And in fact, there were references growing up to my brownness that was, it was pretty sad actually.
Well, and you've written on your website about how big an impact some of those comments made when someone said to you, you're brown, and you went home and looked in the mirror. Can you still remember now how that felt?
Yeah, I recall that. I recall the feeling. I can't remember exactly what happened or how the conversation took place, but it was late primary school. I was probably year 5 or 6. And someone said in passing, I was standing around with a group of friends, and someone made a comment about my skin colour being brown. And it was just in passing, so it wasn't anything specific. And I thought to myself, what? I'm brown. For all that time, I had thought I was white. And then so I just tried to maintain my composure and go along and still smile and nod and be in this conversation. But then I raced home, stood in front of the mirror, and I was like, oh my God, I'm brown. Like, it was this moment of what the heck? And because mostly kids are, you know, they don't see color, but I guess once you're getting into that age, they do. And it was a big moment for me.
And there's a really heartbreaking bit that you write in Huda and Me, your book, about how a teenage boy interacts with Huda at one point, and he seems not to understand the impact that his actions were having. Were you hoping to make that experience understandable to kids who might themselves think that way as well?
Yeah, I was. I thought if to write the story, you have to be true to to reality, really, because any girl, I wasn't covered growing up. I didn't wear the hijab growing up. I wore it as an adult. But any little girl who does choose to wear the hijab, she's going to encounter a tricky situation at some point in her life and around her scarf. And to just pretend that everything's roses and fairy tales, it's just not real life. So I felt like I had to include the lived experience of the Muslim female in some way. And yes, this boy comes up and he's offended by her scarf, and he says some nasty things to her. And there is a specific action that he does in that which really traumatizes Huda. And like I said, it's just reality. That happens around this country. It happens around the world, where the scarf is an offensive thing to people who are just trying to live their lives.
And I love the way the book, you know, has these moments where it can illuminate the experience of someone going through that, but it also just has these great everyday details, you know, like the sound of dad's alarm clock going off for each prayer, and the way Akhil's faith really helps him navigate some of the challenges that he faces in the book. How important is it for you, Huda, to know that there are books like yours that reflect that daily reality for some kids who might not see it in other places?
I think it's so important. I think if I had a book like this growing up, I would have been much more keen to read, number one. And I would have also perhaps embraced those differences in myself. I would have been more willing to show my culture and my religion to people and not try and hide it away. So I think that's where the tide is changing in this day and age, that kids have access to books like these to make them feel, for want of a better word, normal, I suppose.
It was interesting to hear that you struggled with reading as a child. It's quite hard to believe reading the book, because it flows really well and it's, you know, it's really interesting. What did it take for you to be able to write it in the end?
My struggles in, I really learnt, it was probably year four or five that I actually learnt to read, and I was embraced by a really kind and patient teacher who really just didn't make me feel bad about not knowing, or she didn't make me feel dumb, like, you know, how kids can feel when they can't do something. I think that the most important thing is that we need to understand that kids and adults, we learn at different rates, and there is no such thing as stupid. And if you don't understand something today, you will understand it tomorrow. So I think as I grew and was surrounded by, and actually my older brother Akhil was a big part, because he would support me through my homework and my readings and my projects. So he was actually a big part of my development. Mum and Dad were busy trying to feed seven kids and, you know, just keep a roof over our heads. So on top of, you know, his support, it was just really good, a good school and good support. But I won't say that I really took off until probably the first year of uni, and that's when I was really able to spread my wings and flourish.
And it's really good that you had some people stepping in at key moments in your life to support you, it sounds like. Huda, just finally, it was really interesting to read that, you know, your parents used to say, you know, avoid talking about religion when you were growing up. If someone asked where you're from, just say, I'm Australian. It sounds like they knew that it would be useful to you to be able to fly under the radar as a Muslim, as a Lebanese Australian at various points. How do you approach that these days?
Well, these days it's more obvious that I'm Muslim because I do wear the headscarf. And I don't hide away anything. I think it's a very different landscape to how it was in the 90s and even in the early 2000s, especially after the September 11 attacks. So it's different now. And there are more kids, you know, getting out there and doing what they want. And things are lightening up, which is a beautiful thing. But we have to be aware that, you know, what my parents went through was they encountered racism, they encountered horrible comments and horrible things happened to them. So they were trying to protect us. Let's hope that nobody needs to do that anymore. Let's hope that we can move into a future where our kids can walk down the street, all kids can walk down the street wearing what they want, believing what they want, as long as they don't hurt anybody.
Indeed. Huda Hayek, thanks so much for chatting with us on Life Matters today. It's been great to have you here.
Thanks so much.
Huda Hayek, her book is called Huda and Me. It is a ripper read.